cat's head to float or to swim. And I hope you was there for that one. I don't remember if that was a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, but I do appreciate the scripture. I appreciate the Old Testament. We're going to take a look at another event in the life of Elisha. Now, not Elijah, Elisha. Elijah has gone to be with the Lord, all right? We do know that he did not die. According to scripture, he was one of two individuals in your Bible, recorded in your Bible, as having not died, the other one being Enoch. But Elijah is now gone, and Elisha is the prophet in his stead. And what that simply means is that Elisha is the mouthpiece of God. Now, it's different than preachers today. While Elisha may have had a ministry to preach or to proclaim God's word, he done so as God's word. Stay with me, all right? I just repeat what I hear, what I read. Somebody help me. This is what I repeat. All right. Back in those days, they got a word from God, and it was for the people. He was the mouthpiece for God in the sense that he gave the commandments. God gave the commandments through him. Okay. But he was living in a time where nobody wanted to hear it. Don't that sound familiar? We're living in a time where many don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear anything that has to do with church. They don't want to hear anything that has to do with Christ or anything that has to do with their sin or their need of a Savior. But this is not a new problem. This problem dates back thousands of years when Elisha walked the face of the earth. But we're given an incident, a story here in 2 Kings chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 1. I'll read for a little bit and explain some of these verses as we go. The Bible says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria." Just to get us in the right place, Naaman is an enemy. Naaman is an enemy. We're going to hear some great things about Naaman, but don't think that Naaman was some cool Jew, all right? He was an enemy. He was the captain of the host of the king of Syria, which was the enemy to Judah. And so here we are. We're introduced to a man, and the Bible says he was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Now this, I'm going to preach on this, or I'm going to get back to this. But man, isn't it amazing how right off the bat we're told about an enemy of God, and yet in the same verse, we're told how God used him. That's pretty cool. The Bible says it was because by him, the Lord had given deliverance or victory unto Syria. So God used somebody that was an enemy of his own people. That don't fit very good with the preaching that the Jews want to hear. I promise you that. They like to hear that God destroys all their enemies and God, you know, right? And here we have a situation where a Gentile, an enemy of God's people, is quoted as being used by God. The Bible says he was also a mighty man in valor. I don't want to get too much on my sermon, so I'm going to move on. But the Bible says, but he was a leper. Verse number 2, the Bible says, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife." Man, there's so much right here, y'all. I could preach till like 5 today. This was a little girl that was taken as a slave. This was a little girl that was made to leave her country. Why? Because the enemy, Naaman, and his bands had gone in and taken her from her home, taken her from her family, and now she was serving in his house. I need somebody to help me right here. It'd probably be some rat poison somewhere. Oh,
out there.
I mean, this little girl was taken and made a slave. The Bible says that she served in the capacity of a maid to Naaman's wife. The very man, the very reason that she was a slave, she was serving. Man, that's powerful. Verse number two. And the Syrians are three. Where are we at? Three. All right. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now, you and I are thinking about killing Naaman. She's thinking about saving him. That says a whole lot about the character of her. I need somebody to help me right here. And a whole lot about the character of us. This little slave girl, aware that her master had leprosy, she said, I wish he was with the prophet that is in Israel, because he could recover him of his leprosy. So apparently, help me right here, Naaman was a good man. He must have been real good to her, because y'all help me. I'd be thinking about ways to escape or ways to end him. Verse number four. And one went in and told his Lord, that's Naaman, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him the 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. That's a lot. Is everybody helping me right here? 6,000 pieces of gold, don't act like y'all don't want it. Verse number six. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Can you imagine? The king of Syria, your enemy, the one that comes in and attacks you, sends you a letter and says, hey, I'm sending my best man. When he gets there, you recover him. The one that's, is everybody all right? The one that's caused you so much problems. The one that's defeated you so many times. When he gets there, I want you to recover him of his leprosy. All right? So how did the king take it? Well, I'm glad you asked. And the Bible says, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. He said, is this man nuts? He said, I can't recover somebody of their leprosy. Has he lost his mind? Am I God? No, you're not. You're not. And the Bible says he rent his clothes. He says, this man's after a fight. That's what this is all about. He's fixing to attack us. Why would he do that? Why would he say that? This ain't a part of the message, but I'm glad you get to hear it. He had gotten so far away from God that he didn't even realize that God is, I need somebody to help me. He's living in a time of apostasy. That's where Israel was at the time. You got Elijah, the man of God, and everybody's ignoring him. Nobody wants to hear him unless they're in trouble. Does that sound familiar? When they're in trouble, all of a sudden they want to hear the word of God from the man of God when everything's falling apart. And so here this man is, this king, and he's received a letter from a king of an enemy. And he's saying, hey, when my best man, the captain of my host, the one that whips y'all behind all the time, when he gets there, I want you to recover him of his leprosy so he can continue whipping y'all. I would have shot Naaman right there. Somebody help me right now. Y'all acting like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't have shot it. No way. I wouldn't have had a gun back then. All right, now, Bible says this, verse number 8. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let me put it in y'all language. Put your clothes back on, man. Why is it that everybody wants to take the clothes? Anyhow, he says, let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Everybody all right? Naaman had his own idea of how God needed to do this. Man, if this ain't a picture of us today, we've got our own idea about how God ought to do this. Now, I'm going to say something, and I don't want to miss it, but it ain't a part of the sermon, and if I don't include it right here, I'm liable to miss it, all right? So I'm going to say it. I'm going to step out just a moment and say this. Had Elisha recovered him as he wanted it, then all of the honor would have been given to Elisha. Do you understand that? He wanted Elisha to do something. Had Elisha done something, struck his hands over him and said, be clean, then he would have given all the credit to Elisha. It was Elisha that healed me. It was Elisha. It was the prophet that come out and smote his hands together and put them over me, and he done that. Elisha, he wasn't a dummy. So he just sent a messenger out there and said, hey man, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Now, if you know anything about the Jordan River, it ain't no great, beautiful river. This is a mud. Is everybody all right? It oftentimes overflows its banks and it's muddy and it's nasty. Now, where we got baptized at, when we were there, it was beautiful, right? But it ain't always like that. And so Naaman had a problem with it. Where are we at? Verse number 12, are not Abana and Pharpar, which were rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Now listen, I need somebody to help me right here. He had no other options on being healed. I'm going to say it over on this side. Y'all, wait a minute. He had no other options of being healed. It wasn't like he was like, you know what? I'm just going to go to the doctor over there in Damascus. There was no other options. And yet, because it wasn't like he wanted it, he got mad about it. To the point that he was leaving. I mean, come on, y'all help me now. When you got leprosy, you ain't coming back from that. And here this man says, go dip in the river 7 times. I need somebody to help me. I'd have put up a rope swing. We would have had some fun. But I would have got down in that water 7 times. I can promise you that. Mad or not mad, I'd have tried. I mean, I'd try anything at that point, right? But the Bible says he was going away. Verse number 13, we're almost through with our reading. And his servants came near and spake unto him. Thank God he had somebody with some sense. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? He said, Naaman, if he would have told you to go and conquer the world, you'd have done it. If he'd have gone and told you to defeat this army, you would have done it. But when he asks you to go dip in the river 7 times, you're going to get mad about it? Boy, we need some people like this in our lives. Somebody needs to hear me. We need some folks like this in our life to talk us off the edge. I ain't talking about killing ourselves. I'm talking about sometimes you and I just let our mind wander to places it ain't got no business. We need somebody to talk us off of that ledge, and he did. He says, how much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? The Bible says in verse number 14, then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no prophet. Stay with me. See, yeah, you understand what I was talking about earlier? See, had Elisha done it, Elisha would have got the credit. He would have put the honor onto Elisha. But look at what he says. Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Here's Elisha. But he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. Why? You want to tell me Elisha didn't need money? Why not? Once again, had Elisha taken his money, he would have said, it costs me something. Oh, stay with me, y'all. Y'all stay with me. We're so wrapped up in our own personal needs that we don't realize how much we are hurting people spiritually. I ain't got time to elaborate on that. But it's by grace you and I are saved. It's a free gift. It costs absolutely nothing. As we continue in the verse, he says, and he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. He said, hey, I want you to do something for me, Elisha. Can I get some dirt? I want to get some dirt from here, from Israel. He said, because when I go back home, I'm going to worship nothing but this God. And I want to do it on his dirt. Is everybody all right? Is everybody good? All right. So he says this. Verse number 18. In this thing, the Lord pardon thy servant that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon or whatever it's called, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Now listen, I'm going to go back to the 18. I'm done reading. All right. We're done reading, but I want you to notice what he says right here. So he says, I want to take some dirt back to Israel so I can, or back to Damascus so I can worship God on his terms. Okay. But then he said this, he said, hey, when I get back, my master is going to expect me to go into worship with him to worship an idol. And he says, I pray thee, this ain't got nothing to do with the message, but I just thought it needs to be heard, all right? He says, I pray thee that when I do that, I'm begging you, that when I do that, when I bow down myself, he said, let the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. He says, I'm doing it because the authority over me is telling me to do this. He says, but no, my heart's not there. Oh, I need somebody to help me, because most preachers would stop right here and say, bless God, you need to take a stand. But that ain't what Elisha told him. Elisha said, go in peace. His heart was right. All right, is everybody with me? I just thought it needed to be said. We're so demanding of people and putting this on people and that on people. And yet Elisha, when given the opportunity, could have said, no, bless God, you don't even walk into that place. You don't go there. You don't see him. You don't talk to him. You don't do nothing. You separate yourself from him. Elisha didn't tell him that. Kind of weird. Everybody all right? Now, I read all that. I love this story, and there's so much that I can preach out of this story. But we're going to look at Naaman today. Say, preacher, we've looked at Naaman before. I know, but isn't it great to go back in Scripture and read again? Isn't it enjoyable to get a fresh glimpse at a passage of Scripture? I want to do that this morning. I want you to notice the celebration of Naaman, if you will. I find it in verse number 1 of chapter number 5. this man is celebrated. This man, the Bible says, is the captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, and he was also a mighty man in valor. As we look at this, I want you to notice a few things about his celebration. He was a leader. According to the Bible, he was a captain of the host of the king of Syria. In other words, let me put it to you like this. Other than the king, nobody was higher than Naaman. This was the one that was over all. He was over all the armies of this country, all the armies of this king. He was a leader. What he did mattered. What he said mattered. Everything about his life mattered. Why? Because he was a leader. Not only do we see that he was a leader, but we see he was loyal. The Bible tells us that he was a great man with his master. With his master. And of course, we've seen at the end of the scripture, he said, there's going to come a time when my master is going to want me to go in and worship an idol, or go in and bow down before an idol. He says, I beg you that I be pardoned of that before I ever do it. I want you to know my heart rests with the God of Israel. My heart worships only him. But he was loyal to the fact that he said, I'm going to have to go in there and I'm going to have to do it. He was a loyal man. Not only do we see that he was a leader and he was loyal, but we see that he was loved. The Bible says that he was loved by the country. The Bible says he was honorable. That meant that everywhere he went, everybody said, "Woo, that's Naaman. I need somebody. Y'all got to help me." I mean, if there was a David of Syria, this is him. When he walked through, everybody looked at him and said, that is the man. Just as they sang about David, Saul has killed his thousands, but David is 10,000s. Naaman was looked at the same. This is the one that God, or not God, but this is the one that has brought victory to Syria over and over again. This is the one that has led our troops, and they loved him. But not only was he loved by his country, but he was loved by his own house. Here a little slave girl was in that house, and here he has leprosy, and she could have said, you know what? He deserves to die. I mean, he took me from my mama. He took me from my daddy. He took me from my home. He deserves to die. Whatever God does to him, listen to this, it was judgment of God. But yet this little girl said, would to God we could get him to Israel, to the prophet that is in Israel. He would recover him. Of it. Man, I'm going to tell y'all something. That little girl had a love for that boy. He had treated her right. Him and his wife had done good by her. Or else she'd be thinking the same thing you and I are. And so he was a love. He was love. But he was lauded. I mean, he was praised for all of his accomplishments. He was praised for all of them. The Bible says about him, go back to verse number 1 if you will. The Bible tells us about this man that he was also a mighty man in valor. You know what's significant about that? There's no other Gentile in Scripture given that designation. David was given that designation. Gideon was given that designation. Jephthah was given that designation. The men that served under David were given that designation, but he is the only one, the only Gentile in your Bible that it says of him, he was a mighty man in valor. Let me tell you, let me see if I can break it down right here. He had God's hand on him. A Gentile, lost, didn't know God, and yet God's hand was on him. I need somebody, y'all got to help me, man. I need you to get where I'm at this morning. These people in this building, you are loved by those around you. You are lauded for your accomplishments. You have achieved some great things in your life. You're a leader. probably a leader in your community, a leader in your home, leader to your kids, your grandkid, whatever. You're a leader. You're loyal to a fault sometimes, maybe. You and I can identify. Come on, y'all help me. We can identify with Naaman. I mean, I might not be the mighty man of valor, and before any of y'all say that you are, these guys could do some crazy stuff. These mighty men of valor killed like 600 people by themselves. Is everybody all right? Let's me and you just stick to playing golf. These were mighty men. This was a mighty man of valor. And he was no different than the rest of us. He was loved just like you're loved. Lauded. He was a leader. He was loyal. But listen here. The Bible says, look at that last, very last part of that verse. He was a leper. Listen to me. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. Hey, listen to me. He would trade in every bit of that to be cured of leprosy. We look at it because we're not familiar enough with it. We've just heard it in the Bible, but we're not familiar enough with it. But this was something you didn't come back from. This was something that you didn't run to the hospital and get treated for. This was something that you didn't go through this treatment and that treatment and with the hopes of recovering. There was no hope. That's why the king got so upset. Am I God? Because as far as they were concerned, only God could cure leprosy. That's why when Jesus did it, boy, it raised eyebrows. That's why when Jesus did it, he did it as a declaration of who he was. Why? Because the only person, as far as they were concerned, that could heal leprosy was God himself. And so this man, his, not only do we see his celebration, but we see his crisis. He was a leper. If you like Bible study, you'll notice that. But he was. Is italicized. It was added by the translators to try to help us just fill in the blanks, if you will. But if you read the scripture, it would say he was also a mighty man in valor, a leper. Pretty matter of fact and blunt, a leper. Why? Because a leper canceled out everything else. It didn't matter what you had accomplished, you was a leper. It didn't matter how much you were loved, you were a leper. It didn't matter that you was a leader at some point, you're a leper. And in biblical times, they couldn't be around anybody. Stay with me right here, all right? I'm moving quickly. I know I got to, all right? Every one of us is like Naaman. You've got great accomplishments, men and women. I need the women with me on this one too. Because a lot of times we get to talking about men in the Bible and we just cancel it all out like it ain't for us, but it's for all of us. This, let's do it this way. This was a Gentile. That's us. Unless you're a full-blooded Jew in here, you a Gentile. So we're working with it. Let's work on that basis. This was a Gentile who God wanted and had done some great things for. Matter of fact, the Bible, or not the Bible, but tradition says that it was Naaman that fired the arrow that killed Ahab, one of the worst kings of Israel. But the Bible says he was a leper. Every one of us is like Naaman in that we all have our accomplishments. We've all been leaders. You're leading whether you want to or not. Let me put it that way, all right? I need a parent to hear me right now. You're leading whether you want to or not. Say a young adult, I ain't got no kids, but you're leading whether you want to or not because there's some kid around here that's looking up to you. And so you're a leader in some form, fashion, whatever. You're loyal to a fault to somebody. Might not be to me. Might not be to God. Might not be to your mama, your daddy, but you're loyal. Might be just, some of us just loyal to ourselves. But the Bible says he was a leper. Anywhere you see leprosy in the Bible, it is a typology of sin. Everything that sin does to an individual, leprosy does. It deforms us. It disfigures us. It eventually destroys us. It starts a destructive part in our life, and eventually it completely destroys us. I need somebody to help me. You don't believe it? Take a picture. You've seen, how many of y'all seen the pictures of addicts year after year? I'm not jumping on one sin. I'm just saying we've seen how sin can do. And it happens not only in that, but in all sin. And so leprosy is something left unchecked will eventually destroy us. Stay with me. The Bible says this, Romans chapter number 5, verse number 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans chapter number 3, and in verse number 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Stay with me. That means all of us. From the preacher right on down. You don't get to choose that. That's not something that you get to negotiate with God. You can negotiate with us all you want to, but you don't get to negotiate that with God. Why? Because sin was imputed into me and you. Say, well, I don't recall that happening. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 12. Listen to it while I do it slowly. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin. That's the effects of it. Come on, help me. Eventually, it's the effects of it. And death by sin. And so death was passed upon all men. Why? For that all have sinned. And I'm not beating you up. I sin. I mean, come on, y'all. You take the most innocent person in here and they've sinned. It is imputed into us. God created us perfect and yet man sinned. So, well, I didn't sin. I wouldn't have made that choice. Man, you can't get to the coffee pot without sinning. Somebody help me. For all have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. Why? For there's none righteous. No, not one. See, we are a lot like Naaman. We have a crisis too. You can celebrate yourself and you can get other people to celebrate you, but at the end of the day, you've got a crisis. And that crisis is sin. You've got it. It's imputed into you. And the Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nobody that's exempt from that. And then the Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23, for the wages of sin, that's the payment. For the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Somebody help me right there. I'm thankful for that one. Right? And so, as we look at this, you and I have a crisis, but our crisis has a cure. He had a crisis. We see his celebration. We see his crisis, but we see his cure. How did his cure come about? By a witness. By a witness. Oh, I ain't talking about some great preacher. I ain't talking about some great Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about a little slave girl. Did y'all miss that? It was a little slave girl. They would not even have known about the God of Israel had it not been for a witness. They wouldn't have known about the prophet that was in Israel if it hadn't have been for a witness. He wouldn't have known that he could be cured if it hadn't been for a witness. And can I say this morning? You and I, you're not going to know. You never would have known except for a witness. This morning, I might be your witness this morning. I might be the only one that's ever told you this, but I want you to know something. There is a God, and he will recover you. A matter of fact, he's already done all it takes to recover you. So we see his cure. It was a witness. It was because of a witness. It was because of a man of God. I need somebody to help me right here. I know we don't want to hear it in this day and time. We don't want to say that a preacher is a good thing, but let me tell you something. I thank God for everybody, every preacher that stands and preaches God's word. Elisha wasn't like every preacher today. Every preacher today might have probably demanded a payment up front. They probably would have come out and made it like they did something, but not Elisha. He was a man of God. He didn't even come out and address him because he knew he would get the credit for it. He didn't get no money from him, wouldn't take any money from him because he knew he tried to put a price on the grace of God. Y'all do realize this is the grace of God. Out of all, hey, God didn't have to heal the leper. God didn't have to heal the Gentile. This was the grace of God. How did it come about, though? It come about through a witness. It come about through the man of God. It come about through a message. Man of God said, hey, go and dip in that river 7 times. He said, no, I ain't doing that, man. And preachers stand up every day. You see it on billboards every day. Repent. Repent. Trust Christ. But yet we don't listen to the message because it ain't what we want to hear. I don't want to repent now. I want to just, hey, God is love. Love is God. And I can just do what I ain't got to repent. I ain't got to tell God that I'm a sinner. I ain't got to recognize who I am. So they go away mad. It's a message. Might not be the message you like to hear, but it's the only message. Somebody help me right here. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm a way. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He says, I am the way. There's no other way. There's none. There's not another way. I love you, but there's not another way. You can go to every church that's around here. There's not another way. They might not tell you that, but there's no other way. You can't go say 7 Hail Marys. You can't go do this and bow down and pray to this or that or the other. There is no other way. I don't care what denomination. I don't care what church. I don't care what guy's on TV. There is no other way. It ain't Allah. Allah's not God. Quit. Stop. Ho. Whoa. Allah ain't God. He ain't none of that. Is everybody with me? There is no other way. There's only one Jesus Christ who came and died for your sin. There's no other way. You might not like me. You might not like the church, but there's no other way. There's no other way. I'll just be good. You can't be good enough. You can't be good enough. If you could be good enough, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. You cannot be good enough. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can perform. There's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can feel. I am the way. And he backed it up with the truth. Y'all might not have caught that. Jesus just threw it right in there. I am the way. Let me do it like this. I am the way and it's the truth. Is everybody all right? I am the way, the truth, the life. That's it. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm it. I'm the only way. Is everybody hearing me? There was a message. And the message was very clear. There was only one way for Naaman to be cured. And the disease that man has spiritually, there's only one way for you and I to be cured. That's through him. But it's going to require a humbling. Oh, I need somebody to help me. Oh, Naaman was mad. I can't. Throw his sucker in the dirt. I'm gonna go back to Damascus. There's better rivers over there. I said, man, if he'd have told you to do some great thing, you'd have done it. And all he's asked you to do is go dip in the water. Is everybody all right? Hey, listen here. If God told you that you had to run out there and feed 500 people to have eternal life, you'd go do it. You'd make a way. I need somebody to help me. You'd steal something to go. I mean, if that's what eternal life was based on, what I did, tell me what I need to do. Remember the rich young ruler? Tell me what I need to do to inherit eternal life. He said, what does scripture say? He said, honor thy father. He said, I've kept all those commandments. I've done it all. He said, well, then sell everything you got and follow me. Nah. I mean, I kept them all from my youth, but I mean, you're asking me to sell all my possessions and follow God. And y'all do realize he broke like the first commandment, right? This is what God was showing him. You and I can't even keep the first one, much less the other 613 of them. Is that all right? And so we see a humbling. He had to humble himself to the message. And this morning, you may not be there. You may. But the message is there's only one way. And today, until you humble yourself to that message, you're not going to be cured. I'm not going to baby you and pat you on the back and tell you everything's going to be all right. You're not. And then the obeying. He went and did it. And the Bible says that he was clean. Is everybody all right? It produced a change in him. I'm done. That's number four. It produced a change in him. His appearance changed. Bible says his flesh was as a babe. I need somebody to help me. I need some ladies to help me right now. Wouldn't you like to go back to that spot? Walked y'all right into that one. Me too. I'm with y'all. I'm getting there. His appearance changed. Oh, man, if you could go back to where I was before I got saved, you'd see one mean individual. You'd see somebody that didn't look like Jesus, didn't act like Jesus. I ain't saying that I do to the full extent right now, but I'm just telling you, it was rough. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's been a change.
Yes, sir. Glory
there's a joy now.
Yes, sir.
Not all the time. Sometimes y'all make me mad and it's all right. But there's a joy there, right? His appearance changed. Not only that, his attitude changed.
Yes,
the Bible says he was all mad, but when he come out of that water, he was all, let's go back and get this man some money. Everybody all right? His attitude changed. I'm not the same person I used to be. I'm telling y'all, y'all've heard some of the stories, but I'd cuss out a Christian. I just didn't like, I didn't like people. Mean. Could get downright ugly with you. And his affection changed. He said, I ain't going to worship. I know now that there is a God. He says, I'm not going to worship anything but that God. His affection changed. Why? Because there was something that happened in him. Y'all help me right here. Christians, listen, if you're in here and say, man, this ain't for me, man. I done been saved, preacher. So here's the problem. Are you being the little maid? She knew about him. And if it wasn't for her, he wouldn't have known about him. So if you're saved in here, then let me help you out with something. All of us need to be just like that little maid. Telling somebody about a God. I want to say a God in Israel, but I want to know he's a God in Calvary Baptist Church. He's a God. He's God in my house. Is everybody all right? But if you're a name in this morning, no matter how great your name may be in the community, I'm not taking anything away from you. No, y'all realize God didn't put Naaman in his place. God said, this is by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, this is God telling us how great this man was. But yet, he was a leper. And I'm not telling you you're a bad person. I'm telling you here, hey, listen, I'm telling you, just as God spoke of Naaman, ain't no doubt in my mind you're a good person. There's no doubt in my mind you're a great person. There's no doubt in my mind that you have many accomplishments, many achievements. There's no doubt in my mind that you're loved. Might be by just you, but you're loved. I was just joking. I had to throw that in there because only my wife loves me, all right? But anyhow, you're loved. You're loved. But if you're a leper, all of that doesn't matter. Say, preacher, I ain't got no leprosy. Don't miss. We ain't talking on the physical here. We're talking spiritually. The wonderful thing about the imputation of sin is that Christ died for us. And for those that receive him, he imputes righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, the very last verse, Miss Carrie. Matter of fact, we might do, there's several verses in there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus didn't have sin imputed to him. Why? The Bible says he was born of a virgin. He wasn't born the same way me and you were. Remember, the Bible says Adam passed that down. Right? Man wasn't involved in the birth of Christ. He was born of a virgin, so sin was not imputed unto him. Therefore, God had to make him sin. He didn't make him sin as in Christ sinned. He made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made, here it is, the righteousness of God in him. That imputed sin from Adam changes with the second Adam to imputed righteousness. Amen. And now, if you're saved in this building, when God looks upon you, he sees the righteousness of God. How? In him, not in you. Somebody help me. Amen. Hey, if you're a leper this morning, I want to help you, all right? Heads bowed all over the building. Dalton's going to the piano. Here's the invitation. Preacher, I do not know. If I was to die this morning, preacher, I do not know if I'd go to heaven or if I'd go to hell. Preacher, will you pray for me? I do not know whether I'd go to heaven or hell. If that's you this morning, I want you to look up at me. Make eye contact with me. That's all I'm asking. I'm not going to embarrass you, send anybody to you. If you don't want to do that, just lift your hand up. Preacher, I do not know. I'm not sure. Is there anybody in the building that'd be honest with me? You've done great things, but here's the question. If you died right now, sitting where you're sitting, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Thank you. You can put your head down. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Be honest with the preacher. Preacher, I just don't know. If you're in the balcony, just wave at me. Preacher, I just don't know. Pray for me that I'll figure this thing out. Is there anybody like that? This morning, I've had one that's looked up to me, so we're going to go on with this invitation with this. I have been where you're at. I've sat in a service full of people wondering what somebody might think if I walked down front But here's what I want you to know this morning. At the end of this thing, at the end of it all, you will stand before God and give an account of your own life, not anybody else. And so it is imperative that you and I get this thing settled here before we get there. There is a cure. And if you'll let me, I'll help you. We'll show you how you can lay your head down on a pillow tonight knowing where you'd spend eternity. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life, that you may know the name of the Son of God. If you'll let me this morning, I want you to come right down to where I'm at. Just get up out of your seat. Come right here to where I'm at and let me help you. We're not going to go long. I am available. I say that. If you want to talk afterwards, I'm available. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for our services. I thank you for this choir. Thank you for Sunday school, teachers, Lord, the care team, the welcome center, everybody, the security, everybody that does so much to make Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights happen here. God, I pray that you'd bless them. Oh, we thank you for this service, Lord. I know you're working. It pains me to end because, Lord, I was naming. And I remember the day that I yielded to the message and I got saved. The change that it brought upon my life. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd take what's been said, continue to work. Lord, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray somebody would get saved today. Lord, I love you. God, I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to preach. Lord, I pray that you keep us safe till we can return again. Lord, I pray that you continually challenge us, convict us, change us. Lord, that we may be Christ-like in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Don't forget, we do not have class tonight. We're going to have an appreciation dinner. We got some things for our leaders tonight. And they've gotten a message. If they're supposed to be here, they have gotten a text message for that. And we'll start back up with our discipleship next Sunday. I want to say thank you for being here. Visitors, man, we got visitors all over the place. Let's give them a hand for being with us. I hope you enjoyed this morning. And I hope you found a warm welcome. I hope you got everything that you needed. I hope you were ministered to, whether it be through the choir, through a smile, through the preaching. I pray that the Lord spoke to you, ministered to you today. I pray it makes your day better and your week better. Amen. Thank you for being here. Be careful.